The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen, hour two of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. John Stadtmiller. People say I don't say that name enough. What's in a name? Give it a name. Ron McDonald joins me again this hour, as he does every Monday, author of They Own It All, Including You, By Means of Toxic Currency. Gee, do you think it can get any more toxic than it is right now?
I don't think so.
I think so.
I think that's it. I mean, the next step will just be e-commerce, e-trade. Nothing you can feel. You know, nothing that even represents as though it's real money.
Well, I mean, didn't Ben Bernanke, when somebody asked him, you know, you're firing up the printing presses, he said, no, that's a misnomer. He says it's just digits in a computer. We're not even going to bother with the fakery of giving you something tangible. The worthless stuff to touch, you know, because that's too close to, well, something of value, I guess. I don't know. Well, let me finish this out, because you know what? The media is not talking about this, and I damn near had to break people's arms under a penalty of death to get them to talk about this in the alternative media. This is a big deal, because guess what George Bush did with a memorandum of understanding? Back in 1992, by way of executive order, allowing the privatization of the infrastructure of America back in 92. Yeah, they were a little behind the curve, but don't worry, they're catching up fast. Now, Griggs goes on to say here in his article, having failed to obtain a copy of the Memorandum of Understanding by simply asking, as citizens should be able to do in a free republic, notice I said republic and not democracy, okay, safe, has had to resort to filing a Freedom of Information Act with the State Department. Now, nationally, the John Birch Society is one of the few organizations challenging the conventional Republican-Democrat wisdom on this issue. Well, not the only. Which seems to be that any and all expansion of the political and economic ties with Communist China is a wonderful thing. In the Society's July Bulletin, an article by Larry Greenlee, the U.S.-China Governor's Forum Leads to Disaster, urge members to contact your governor now and ask him or her to protect our national independence and prosperity by avoiding further entanglements with the state-run corporations of Communist China and by not participating in the U.S.-China Governor's Forum in Salt Lake City, July 15th through the 17th. I think I just might have to go out there. Censoring the C-word. One of the most striking features to be observed in the press releases and statements from individual governors, the NGA and the State Department, is the concerted effort to avoid the C word, i.e., communist, even when dealing with the official titles of Communist Party officials from China. This conscious censorship is employed by U.S. media organizations as well, apparently because they do not wish to remind their audiences that the foreign officials who are being extolled so glowingly are actually stooges for a totalitarian, repressive, one-party state. No. You know, the politicians told us through most favored nation status that the people of China will drive communism out because we're going to give them a taste of democracy and capitalism. Really? Controlled by the banks? Yeah, good luck with that one.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal, and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-489-0192. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-489-0192. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactiv.com or call 1-800-489-0192. That's 1-800-489-0192.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each meal is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generations.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendovite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendovite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Let me give you, for instance, here. This is an excerpt from the report in the Salt Lake City Tribune. Last February 26th, announcing the forthcoming U.S.-China Governors Forum. And I quote, "This is a pioneering undertaking to expand bilateral cooperation," said Zhao Zhang, Party Secretary for Hunan Province in central China. Now, Zhao and Washington Governor Chris, I think this is Gregory, signed an accord Saturday that formalized the relationship, which seeks to foster face-to-face discussions between governors and Chinese provincial party leaders about trade and educational exchanges. About trade and educational exchanges. Well, what educational? Well, we're going to send U.S. people over to Chinese schools to learn Chinese Mandarin? They can stay right here. They're teaching it in our schools now. Do you think there's something coming? Do you think there's a little groundwork that's being laid? No, I'm just a conspiracy theorist. Now, nowhere in the article is the Communist Party of China even mentioned. Zhao Shang is simply described as a party secretary. And we've given vague reference to the provincial party leaders. What kind of party? Birthday party? No. No. Halloween party? No. Democrat party? Republican party? No. Why the determined effort to censor the obvious? Would a reporter write about the Democratic Party event or a Republican Party event and never once mention the proper name of the party? Would journalists in the late 30s or the 40s have mentioned, or would reporters today, for that matter, mention Heinrich Himmler or Hermann Göring? Why do they keep using the Nazi stuff? How about Uncle Joe Stalin? Oh, that's right. They were friends of ours that helped turn communists or China into communists. But that's another thing. Anyhow, this kind of censorship has been practiced for so long by the U.S. State Department and the U.S. media and has become so extensive that it's rarely even questioned anymore. Now, the interesting thing about this is that they are not reporting on this. They're just simply not reporting on this. And I would urge listeners out there, CNN, ABC, NBC, ABC, MSNBC. I mean, wouldn't one of the little communist sympathizers on MSNBC like to take up this story? I would think. Well, maybe not. Now, I'm telling you.
Are you saying that we should learn and love Chinese food at this point, or what?
Well, I don't know. I heard the statement, you know, we had a Cold War against the Ruskies, and if we lost, we'd better like them damn fish eggs. Better get used to eating those things. You know, I mean, think about this. Why would a Department of State, why would the U.S. government be interested in not only fostering communism, but actively taking a part to promote it? It's been going on for 60, almost 70 years. You know, folks, do you think this was an accident? You know, I mean, these trade imbalances with China. Oh, well, we wouldn't have trade imbalances. You know, I would like to see trading with other countries. Yeah, sure. It's good for business. But what business are we doing in this country now? And is it my business to question their business? Well, you're damn right it is. Because what we've done is set up China. Guess what they got? They're holding a hell of a lot of U.S. paper. Don't you think that the trillions we owe the communist Chinese right now, you think maybe part of the deal is that, well, okay, we won't recall the note just yet. And maybe, just maybe, if you need to borrow a little bit more to finance your ever-burgeoning debt in the U.S. because you don't have the ability to pay your own bills, you know, we can work something out, can't we? I can't say that in Mandarin Chinese. Now, let me jump back into this thing here. The forum is one of the direct, and again, quoting here, the forum is one of the direct, pragmatic, and effective platforms between two countries. Zhao Shang, Secretary of Hunan Province Committee of the Communist Party of China, told reporters on the sidelines at the U.S. National Governors Association winter meeting. However, the State Department, the National Governors Association, and media organs covering these events, I wish they wouldn't use that term organ, something just came to mind, have elected not to pass this information on to the American constituents and audiences. Moreover, they can also be relied upon to pointedly ignore the policies of horrendous human rights abuses, religious persecutions, political repression. Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't that Chinese tank run over that guy in Tiananmen Square? That was history. Even torture and murder. They're being carried out by the Chinese Communist Party host. And folks, these weren't just little protectionist stories. People were afraid to do business with the communist Chinese. I mean, some of their state-run factories over there, if you don't produce, they literally would march you out in the back of the plant and shoot you and then charge your family the cost of the ammunition to end your life with. That is not a joke. That is a true story. Utah Governor Gary Herbert's website provides cheery accounts of his trade mission to China in April of 2011. That resembled the tone of Salt Lake City Tribune article. One of the press releases from Beijing excitedly reports that it was privileged to meet with State Councilor Dai Bingo. Who the hell that is? It reads, Today, Governor Gary R. Herbert and delegates of his trade mission had the opportunity to meet with Dai Bungalow. It sounds like Bungalow. Never mind. State Councilor of the People's Republic of China. This meeting is one example how the governor's trade mission is building crucial relationship with Chinese officials. These relationships are critical in helping Utah businesses navigate the complex rules involved in doing business with China. We're here to lay the foundation for a durable relationship between Utah and China, said Governor Gary Herbert. Now, folks, I'm not going to read the rest of this because I've read enough to give you the full flavor of this. Ron, can I, should I ask the question?
Have faith, John. I know what you're going to do. But have faith.
Have faith. What was I going to do?
You're going to ask for some responses, I think.
No.
Okay.
I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole like I did last week, reporting on a 21-year veteran of the Army that offed himself in the worst way imaginable, pouring a can of gasoline on himself and burning himself because... No, I'm not going to go there. What I was going to say is, do you think maybe these governors have overstepped their bounds as representatives, as governors of the little separate nation known as states in this country? Do you think maybe this is a little, should I whisper the word, treasonous?
Well, let's see here. You know, from my perspective, there are no restraints on what is in place today. It's a corporation. What we had, the meets and bounds of each of the states, no longer exist. It's all conceptions of abstractions. These corporations are ran merely to make money for the state. It has nothing to do with people. We're a capital resource. That's what we've become, capital resource. Resources, and we are merely subjects of the wills of the fickleness of rules created by these legislatures, 50 of them. Not to exclude the federal government.
Well, you know, we've got a problem. We're addicted to credit. You know, what we've got to do here necessarily to keep from defaulting on our obligations. I find this really ironic because this is like saying that a contract between an honest guy and a criminal is a binding contract. That because the said criminal puts his John Hancock, excuse me, John, I didn't mean to be derogatory, puts his signature on a contract, that somehow that this makes the person, the signee of this contract, any less a criminal. Now, do I dare take any phone calls? A hell of a lot of people are listening to this show today, and I've not got one phone call. Not one. What? Well, you wouldn't mind refreshing your screen in there, would you? I'm sorry? No, they aren't what? Oh, that's what I just said. There's no callers. Duh, are you trying to make me look stupid? Are you sure there's no vodka in that cup? Now, I know the reason is because they're sitting there listening intently to what we've been saying. But it's okay, you can call now, 800-313-9443. You know, I don't know if you people realize what role you're going to be playing in the future of this network. You are the best educated people out there. We have made sure of that to the best of our ability. And if plans move ahead, which it looks like it might, crossing my fingers, if you're a religious person, say a prayer, that we're going to dramatically expand the reach of this network. Now... Yeah, on top of the heels of what I said last hour, that we have an advertiser, he only gets two calls. How's this humanly possible? Well, there is a crap load of people in this country, ladies and gentlemen, who have never heard this network, and it's going to have the same effect on them as it once did on you. What am I listening to? Man, this is great. You've become complacent. You've gotten too used to it. Imagine what the effect of people that have never heard programming like this, and for once in their lives, somebody has the timidity, the audacity to tell them the truth.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror, or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with the return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract! A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experience process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
All right, we're back. Dan in Illinois. Hello, Dan.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Fair to middling, mostly good.
I got a couple quotes for you really quick by Nikita Khrushchev. One of them was, "The only thing your Senator McCarthy did wrong was he did not dig deep enough." That was after they ran him out of D.C.,
No, the real mistake that was made, he took on his assistant. His name was Cohen.
Well,
we'll continue. Go ahead, Dan.
And the second one was from Khrushchev, too, was historians are dangerous people. They must be directed, which makes a lot of sense on what's going on nowadays.
And you know what? If they win, they get to rewrite history, and we were all just conspiracy theorists.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I can't see why people can't open their eyes to see what's going on nowadays in the whole scope of things.
Well, they're reeling, Dan, from a lot of different things, which, again, going back to our vaunted covers and white paper people in the media, they report accurately. They report, you decide, right?
Oh, yeah.
No, you get to decide what they're reporting on. Now they've used a new trick. you know, what story, they'll give you three or four choices, what story do you want us to cover more? You know, Dancing with the Stars or whatever. You know, they don't put a block up there, let us know what story you want us to cover. They give you a choice of three or four nonsensical things. And then they'll read the comments on air from people tweeting and doing whatever on useless stuff that they don't want to cover in the first place. Yeah, we're fair and balanced. We report, you decide.
Yeah, right. That's why I don't take in much of their programming.
Well, I'm forced to because, you know, and I'm looking forward to the day that I can, without ever mentioning the lamestream media again, that we have a format, we go toe-to-toe with these clowns, and we make them look as bad as they really are.
Yeah, you know, I skip through it. If it's something's really stupid, you know, I skip on through, you know.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Don't you want to know about this woman that killed her baby down in Florida? And they're giving you live feeds from the courtroom. Don't you find that rather fascinating? Aren't you satiated and satisfied with that, Dan?
Not particularly, you know.
That was a rhetorical question, my friend.
Well, yeah, I understand. Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
You know, yeah, I just thought I'd let you know. I listened to you since, like, way back in 97 or something like that, you and your old partner.
You mean I haven't burned you out yet?
No. Well, I lost track of you for a while, you know, with shortwave, and I didn't get a computer and all that in between.
Uh-huh.
You, Jeff, your old partner, Mark, all these guys. And, you know, I've been telling people that what you guys have been saying for years and years, and, you know, I am a kook.
Really?
Still a kook.
Well,
yeah,
I'll tell you what. We just need to make more kooks out there so we can have a kook party. And hopefully it's one and big enough that we're the ones that can throw the floating detritus in the punch bowl for our honored guest.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Dan.
Okay, I just thought I'd give you those two quotes.
All right, thanks, Dan. I appreciate your call.
Okay.
Bill in Missouri. Hello, Bill.
Hey, John. How are you tonight?
Good.
I was just calling. This weekend, I had a little family gathering. Several of my family members are in law enforcement. One of them in a little town over here has got a couple hundred thousand people. Another one for the state AG's office.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just shocked. Neither one of them had ever heard of Sheriff Mack, Oath Keepers, none of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I, these are fairly educated people.
Compartmentalized.
There you go.
Yeah.
And I'm just amazed that they buy every lie that comes out in the mainstream media. I was talking to them and we're saying how we needed all of this for the protect us from the terrorists. And
mm-hmm.
They couldn't name one. I told them I don't think there are any real terrorists. And they said, well, you know, that Christmas Day bomber. And I said, State Department admitted they were put them on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
They had never heard that. So
really?
I don't know what we're going to have to do.
Did you give them an RBN card? You know, they can listen. I mean, they don't have to even talk to their buddies about it. They can quietly and covertly listen at home and learn something.
I directed them straight to your website and told them, gave them your home number.
How long ago did you do this?
This was yesterday.
Okay, well, maybe they're listening today and getting an earful of something they've never heard before.
I hope so. And one of the things that was really disheartening to me was, and I've heard this from other law enforcement people, they say, well, I'll draw my line in the sand if they ever tell me to confiscate weapons.
Uh-huh.
And I asked them, I said, well, why draw your line in the sand in the Second Amendment? Why not draw a circle around the whole Constitution? It's a document. We need the whole thing.
Well, let me tell you a little exchange that I had with three active duty Army personnel sitting in Mickey D's this morning. You're going to love this story. Thanks for your call, Bill. And
I appreciate it.
And thanks, hopefully, God. you didn't call them corporate coffer Keystone cops, did you?
No, I didn't.
I would have. And then sat there and drank a beer and laughed about it.
All right.
All right. Thanks,
thanks
Bill. Appreciate your call. All right. We got to take the break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Introducing the new Go Berkey kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a one-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
All righty. Holy mackerel. Oh, this has got my interest. Frank is a first-time caller. From way outside the box. Oh, okay, Frank. What box are you outside of?
Pretty much all of you can imagine.
Okay.
I want to present a few analogies here. What do communist Russia, pre-World War, or China, and Nazi Germany have in common?
They're all on the planet Earth.
Yeah, no, they all proceeded to confiscate all personally owned arms.
Okay.
The United States is in the process of doing the same thing. What country in the current world is in the process of issuing 1.3 million Kalashnikovs civilian population to avoid an invasion?
Would that be North Korea?
No, that would be.
Okay, I'm Frank. You got a lousy cell connection here. What did you just say?
I'm I'm sorry, that would be Libya.
Libya? Oh.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, doesn't that kind of seem like a role reversal? Pre-World War II, the United States did not need much of a standing army because the Midlands were armed. Post-World War, okay, they've been disarming the populace and establishing the greatest military, or at least the largest, most technologically advanced military in the world. And they're in the hole in the earth where Irish go to die.
Okay.
Afghanistan.
Frank, you're breaking up on us. I got it.
I'm sorry, John.
No, that's okay. What are you on? A cell phone?
Skype.
Skype. It ain't working real. It ain't working real well. You got some bandwidth issues there. Do you have anything open? Hey, Frank, do you have any programs open and running on your computer right now?
Too many.
Well, that's why. When you use Skype, you've got to shut those down. Because what your computer is doing is competing for bandwidth. And you do with the voice.
I'm still running XP.
Okay. Well, whatever the reason.
I'm still running XP.
Okay. Whatever you're, and I'm not talking about your operating system. I'm talking about open programs you have running on your computer as we speak.
Understood.
Okay. All right. Frank, I appreciate your call, and I got the gist of it. Well, let me enlighten you with a few things. Gun Week, the next week's edition. The global gun control debate has been simmering largely behind closed doors at where our friends, the United Nations, that gave us the IMF and, well, wars without end, but has been fractured into the gun press and the internet suddenly moved into the general media in June. What I'm talking about here is a columnist in Ford magazine issued a general warning about the UN's Arms Trade Treaty, or ATT, and pulled no punches in its criticism of the international compact, which is scheduled to be finalized, guess when? Next year, sometime before the U.S. presidential and congressional elections. Forbes contributor Larry Bell warned the public and the business community in particular that if such a treaty is passed, it will be a serious threat to the Second Amendment. That's why many in the gun community have been saying since the professional diplomats at the U.N. started crafting the treaty's language 10 years ago in 2001. The treaty has been moved forward for several years at the UN headquarters and in committee meetings held in major cities around the world. Gun rights organizations, including the NRA, Second Amendment Foundation, Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, National Shooting Sports Foundation, and others, have been warning about UN gun control initiatives for several years. So is Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America. I don't trust the NRA. They're into politics, and that's compromising. But anyhow, Bell, a professor of space architecture at the University of Houston, suggested in his Forbes column outlining the impact of many of the provisions that the threat is not only real, it may be closer than anyone thinks, thanks to the Obama administration. And who else? Hillary Clinton. What did her husband do during his administration? Yeah, just set record gun sales in the United States because he kept with assault weapon ban stuff and triggers and hand butts and center this and whatever, if you know the routine. According to Bell, terms of the proposed treaty are likely to include strict licensing requirements, confiscation and destruction of, guess what, unauthorized civilian firearms, a ban on the trade, sale and private ownership of all semi-automatic firearms, and the creation of the International Gun Registry. International Gun Registry. In short, he wrote, the threat would override our national sovereignty. In the process, he said, the federal government would assume control over state regulatory powers guaranteed by the 10th Amendment and override the Second Amendment to the Constitution. Bell noted that the former U.N. Ambassador John Bolton, had caution gun owners to take the initiative seriously. Sure he did. Bolton asserted that the UN gun grabbers are trying to portray the treaty as a simple document between various nations designed to cut weapons shipments to terrorists when it was much, much more dangerous. Yeah, I sure remember Bolton doing that. It was just like yesterday, and, well, almost never did I hear this man say this. But at any rate, you see, these treaties supersede our laws, folks. Isn't it a comfortable thing for the United States Supreme Court to say that, oh, yeah, the Second Amendment, yeah, the right to people to keep and bear arms? But what did we see Montana do? Well, the federal government doesn't have purview under the interstate commerce clauses to regulate our firearms. We'll go you one better. We don't need the BATFE and all you people. We'll just manufacture our own arms and our own ammunition. And guess what? That lets you out of your responsibility on the Commerce Clause thing. But wait here, folks. Let me tell you something about the federal government and its powers over the state. We've got a big battle here in Texas, TSA. We don't want these people sticking their hands down anybody's pants. Did you read the story on the website today? 95-year-old woman going home to die? They made her take off her Depends because it was inhibiting their groping of the subject. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you seriously believe that there is not going to be treaties that these clowns in Washington and people like the piano leg Biddy aforementioned, I'm not even going to say her name again, you know who I'm talking about, that is going to try to convince people that, oh, well, these international treaties, they supersede U.S. laws. Come on, folks. It's the globalization process. They're here to smash sovereignty. Do you think for one second they give a damn about you? You know, God, let me just go to another caller before I chew this microphone off the stand with my teeth. Tom in British Columbia. Hello, Tom.
How you doing?
Hey.
Hanging in there. Hey, John, you're saying about the bridge work. I have a friend of mine. He's a structural engineer. Mm-hmm. He mentioned to me a few years ago the certification process to, you know, build American bridges. It takes years. There's hurdles to jump. And they short-circuit that. And I think they did it in 4 months for the Chinese plants. 4 months or 6 months. It was something unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
And in steel arriving there, it's missing welds and all kind.
Yeah.
But up here, where we live, we had a bridge built a couple of years ago. It was called a P3 private partnership.
Mm-hmm.
You might as well call it the UN bridge. German contractor. Steel came from, I used to be an iron worker years ago, so I kept an eye on this. Steel came from China and Poland. All the laborers came from Serbia. And the company paying the laborers was from Eastern Bloc, one of the Eastern Bloc countries. And they didn't, the contractor paid them. They didn't pay the laborers. And there was hundreds of Serbian laborers stuck here for weeks without pay. So the local union, the local papers, the politicians saying there's 2,500 years worth of man-hours worth of labor in this bridge, but there really wasn't. The money went outsourced, and now we have a bridge that we have to pay $6 a pop every time you drive over it one way.
Well, there's your privatization. And let me ask you this. When they were trying to sell this to the Canadian people, did they tell you the advantage of doing this? It was going to save a lot of money?
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then also down the road, John, in 25-odd years when the bridge, or 30 years, whatever it is, when it's in need of repair, guess what? It gets handed back. It gets handed over to the local people here, and then we're stuck for maintenance bills.
Well, okay. Now let's extrapolate this on this for a second. And because there's so many budgetary problems, because the states are so broke, the federal government's so broke, you see, we have no money for infrastructure. This is why we've got to go in these private partnerships with these people, mm-hmm. because that's going to be our saving grace.
Exactly.
What the hell's wrong with you people up in British Columbia? Don't you get this? Welcome to the globalization process.
Yeah, we're a leader on that. We're one of the first provinces to have the carbon tax. It was neutral, by the way. We all got $100 back, but it's been... It's 2.5 cents. It's went up to about 5 cents. And I remember when a dollar a liter was just unheard of. Now we're paying $1.50. So I think we're paying $5 or $6 a gallon.
Well, Tom, I got an idea here. Why don't you and I come up with a treaty that when the Second American Revolution breaks out in this country, that if you don't have any firearms or ammunition left, just bring your body down here. We'll supply you. Help us win our government back, and then we'll move into Canada and take yours back.
Is that a promise?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Well, you got my vote, John.
All right, Tom.
Take care.
Hey, thanks for your call. Glenn in Kansas. Hello, Glenn.
Long time no talk to you.
I've been here. Where the heck you been?
Well, I've been listening to you, and glad to hear Robbie back on. Anyway, I'm about to join the ranks of the unemployed.
Okay.
I'm a state worker that carried on the boundaries of political correctness, being critical of His Lordship Obama, and one of the temporary employees said that they were offended. So now I'm kind of suspended.
Well, wait a minute here. Were you a permanent state employee?
Yes, but I'm called an unclassified.
Okay, so the...
And they can fire you for any reason, pretty much, but you do have to get a hearing afterwards anyway.
Well, wait a minute. Don't you have a state union?
No, we do not have a state union. This is Kansas.
Okay.
This is, so-called, right to work, but...
Okay.
Then again, and we're supposed to have a conservative governor, but I don't think so.
After hearing the information you've heard today, do you think the governors are now compromised?
Oh, I think that all these governors are compromised, and besides, this is Brownback. That's the governor. But
well, you don't have to say any more to me.
Yeah, at least he has a beer named after him.
Yeah.
Anyway, so while they're investigating, they did not stipulate that I was to be off with no pay, so by state law they have to pay me.
Let me put you on the spot here, because I want to move along, because I need to play this one clip from Wayne Madsen. But what was your offending statement?
Well, I'm pretty much also having a DVD that my generation has been negligent in warning the younger generation that this Obama character is not what he is, and on top of that, the left-right paradigm is a phony.
So you were making statements of clarification, and somebody that's maybe culturally challenged, or at least brain-wise?
No, it's a temporary college kid. He's young.
Oh, so he's
just come out of the brainwashing institution.
He's carrying the water for the Marxists, but he doesn't know it. But he was offended by what you were saying.
Yes, and he's also an atheist, and he thinks he's an independent thinker, and he's all lockstep, cookie cutter liberal.
Yeah. And so they and you know what, Glenn? They don't even know that they're liberals. They don't know what message they're carrying.
No, they don't know. Of course, then if I do get fired, then I'll have more time to work on and get a another low power FM back up again here in Junction City, Kansas.
While you're still collecting the check, do it.
Well, yeah, I'll probably do that. I've got I'll go to 700 watts this time.
Good deal. And that's what I did.
And I also made some friends with the good people from Castle Broadcasting. I met them over at Missouri when I was over at the Field of Dreams there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I made some great connections, and
good.
I'm going to use them and try to get our networks more widespread, because as the economy slides down the tube, you can depend on a lot of AM FMs going dark because they cannot afford to keep operating.
Well,
and it's essential to get the low powers up and running.
Let me just put it to you this way, Glenn. Act as if you have no time left, because literally we don't. Hey, thanks for your call. Let me play this clip. This is Wayne Madsen on Russian television. Talk to me, Wayne.
A few news outlets seem to be giving Libya the coverage that it actually deserves. And what they do, it's armchair speculation. A lot of folks reading the same headlines that I have right here and talking about what they think is actually happening on the ground there. So I'm a little tired of that. Let's talk to someone who's actually spent some time on the ground in Tripoli. Wayne Mattson is an investigative reporter, and you just came back a few weeks ago, as I understand it, Wayne.
Yes, I was actually a member of the delegation that former Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney led there. And I have to say that even worse than armchair speculation, the Washington Post, which you just showed, and the New York Times have reporters in Tripoli who are obviously living in an alternate universe, because what they were reporting, their datelines out of Tripoli, were had nothing in common with what we all saw on the ground. First of all, they were saying, you know, schools were closed. Why watch the kids go to school? Yes, things are not normal in Tripoli, long gas lines because of the sanctions imposed. There's some shortages of food because collective punishment is being applied by NATO.
The ports are blocked by NATO.
The ports are blocked, including fishing boats that can't get fresh seafood in. So, yes, it's very similar to what goes on in Gaza with the collective punishment on those people there. But Gaddafi has a lot of support in Tripoli. There's a report today from the Murdoch, normal Rupert Murdoch, distributors of propaganda, Wall Street Journal in particular, saying that Gaddafi's getting ready to flee Tripoli. Why would he? He has total support from Tripoli all the way to the Tunisian border. We had to go by car. We actually encountered one impromptu pro-Gaddafi demonstration on the main highway. We got out and asked these people. We wanted to know, are these, you know, are these shills being paid by the government? This was no, it was total impromptu.
When I read this, I mean, according to this, Gaddafi is a lying son of a bitch who's running around Tripoli, giving out baskets of Viagra and, you know, faking civilian casualties. So are you saying that's not what you saw?
No. And you know, we haven't seen an information war like this, a propaganda war, since the, you know, the leading up to the war against Iraq and the occupation. Remember the yellow cake, uranium, the biological mobile weapons labs. You know, Colin Powell holding up the anthrax, all that nonsense.
Innocent civilians slaughtered.
Yes. One thing, we did go to the hospital. We saw civilians who were had been hit with shrapnel. I think one of the things is NATO was saying we are not targeting civilians. We got the video footage of these people, photographs, and now NATO at least has to admit that it is hurting civilians in its attacks.
And they did admit to one
civilians
recently that killed some children. But let's play, I think we have a soundbite from President Obama, our own president, speaking just a few days ago, where he mentioned Libya. Let's play that clip if we have it.
When innocents are being slaughtered and global security in danger, we don't have to choose between standing idly by or acting on our own. Instead, we must rally international action, which we're doing in Libya, where we do not have a single soldier on the ground, but are supporting allies in protecting the Libyan people and giving them the chance to determine their own destiny.
So, Wayne, you heard the president protecting the Libyan people. Is he lying?
Oh, I would say so. And we know that he doesn't even have the support of members of his own party in the House of Representatives. 70 Democrats voted for a resolution to curtail the U.S. Support for this operation today in the House. Another thing that's not being reported, there are some rebels who have gone back to Gaddafi. We have seen reports of NATO hitting rebel columns. There are other reports that these may be rebels trying to get back to Tripoli to rejoin Gaddafi. Gaddafi's given amnesty to these people. Many former rebels, including one I spoke to, said, look, we weren't happy with Gaddafi, but when we saw NATO, including Italy, our former colonial occupier, join this thing, and now there's some question whether Italy wants to participate in this any longer. They're, you know, saying, okay, he's a dictator. We've had him around for over 40 years, but darn it, he's a Libyan nationalist, and he has given us the highest standard of living in Africa.
The really interesting thing to me, just to focus it back here in the U.S., is you mentioned the House vote. It's mainly a symbolic vote. It's not actually going to change Libyan policy immediately, but it sends the message that Congress isn't very happy with this war. The American people aren't very happy with the war, 46% of them, according to a new Gallup poll today. And how does this administration sell this conflict to the American people and to lawmakers? Let's listen to what Hillary Clinton had to say. Do we have that bite?
The bottom line is, whose side are you on? Are you on Gaddafi's side, or are you on the side of the aspirations of the Libyan people and the international coalition that has been created to support them?
Now, Wayne, I don't know about you, but that's kind of familiar sounding. Let me play you another clip that we might have in the control room.
Either you're with us,
Either you love freedom and with nations which embrace freedom, or you're with the enemy. There's no in-between. You're either with us or you're with the enemy. That's clear.
Where's the media on this?
Well, the media is silent. And worse, as I pointed out, they're putting out disinformation rather than reporting the facts as they see them on the ground. I think what we're seeing here is, Gaddafi, before this rebellion started in Libya, he was part of the international community. He had given up his WMDs in 2003 to George W. Bush's administration, and Bush got out there and said, hey, look what a success this is. We're now friends with Gaddafi. The thing is many of these Libyan rebels, and this is one thing that has not been reported, one of the first targets of the NATO airstrike was the Libyan anti-corruption agency in Tripoli. They were trying to destroy the documents. They had information. They were going to actually bring charges against some government ministers for siphoning off Libyan oil revenue and putting it in their own Swiss bank accounts. Isn't it funny? Almost to a person, these are the ministers who defected to the rebel movement.
Staying back on the media topic for a minute, I just want to ask you, I mean, there clearly is a shift in the mood of the country against the kinetic military operations, whatever you want to call it, in Libya. How intense it is, I don't know, but it's shifting, right? Why? Let me phrase it this way. When's the last time MSNBC called you to put you on air?
Oh,
or Fox News or CNN?
Many, many years. And look,
why is that?
You're
on the ground. You're getting this information. The information jives with what the people of America seem to believe, which is that this conflict is not necessarily worth it. Why are you the pseudo Hanoi Jane? I mean, you remember
right.
how that conflict
Oh, absolutely. Went. Well, they don't want this information out. And it's funny, I had more of an opportunity on Libyan state TV to give the, you know, what we're talking about here without any censors present. And the next day, people, total strangers coming up to me on the street in Tripoli, thank you for coming here to tell the truth for once. Look, NBC still, a lot of the ownership is General Electric, one of the big military contractors. Fox is Murdoch, who has his own interest in keeping these wars going. You're not going to get on any, and CNN, which is more into infotainment, like the latest murder trial in the South.
Well, and on that, I think we have a photograph. We had an editorial meeting this morning where we noticed that all three channels that we had on the mainstream channels, do we have that photo control room, was covering something very important. It was a breaking news story. Let me what you're seeing here right now, MSNBC all the way on the left, I believe that's CNN, I can't really see it, in the middle, and Fox News. I mean, come on, guys.
They're covering the murder trial with
well,
a baby in
problem.
Florida.
And look, this is more than the Libyan situation, the war. This is another constitutional showdown between the White House and Congress, and we haven't seen it. I mean, the whole purpose of the War Powers Act was to curtail.
Where's the showdown over Yemen, Pakistan,
right.
Somalia?
Well, and isn't it funny? We, you know, here's another war against Arabs, Muslims, and, you know, where's the outrage? I mean, this was, talk about a war of choice. They talk about Iraq being a war of choice. This is a war of choice. And the people, basically, many of these rebel leaders are just as corrupt as Ahmad Chalabi was.
All right.
I want you to do me a favor, folks. I want you to write this down. Wayne Madsen has been MIA because he's been trotting around the globe. He's not done a live program on this network in over a month, and we understand and appreciate. But we understand how important he is to the RBN lineup. I want you to send this guy an email, WMR Editor. That stands for Wayne Madsen Report, WMR Editor@WayneMadsenReport.com. WayneMadsenReport.com. WMR Editor@WayneMadsenReport.com. Tell him to get back on the air. Please, we need you badly. Ron McDonald, see you next Monday.
All right, we'll be there.
All righty, sir. Thank you, and thank you all for being here today.